A while back, I read an interesting story about an unknown whale that's referred to as 52 Blue. Anybody ever hear 52 Blue before? So 52 Blue is a whale of unidentified species. Scientists believe that it could be a blue whale or a fin whale. But this whale calls or communicates at the unusual frequency of 52 hertz. Other whales communicate at much lower frequencies. So it's believed that this whale is either deaf or has some kind of, is malformed in some kind of way. But scientists originally, they discovered this whale in 1989 using hydrophones to pick up its calls. And since then, there have been expeditions to try to find this whale because although it's been heard, it's never been sighted. 52 Blue has never been sighted. But what's captured people's attention about this whale is because it communicates at too high a frequency, it'll call out, but it never gets a response. This whale calls out, but it doesn't get a response. As a result of that, this whale is also dubbed the loneliest whale because it doesn't have the ability to communicate. It's really a sad story when you think about this whale that's calling out, trying to communicate, trying to connect, but to no avail. And in a way, I think that this story serves as a great metaphor for how we can feel in our spiritual lives at times. How many of you feel like, or maybe have felt like at some point in your life, that you are and God are on different frequencies? You're not communicating efficiently. Maybe it seems like your prayers that you're praying are hitting this brick wall or falling on deaf ears. Maybe it's hard life situations that make you feel like you're emotionally distant or disconnected from God. For some, maybe it just feels like a neutrality. Your relationship with God doesn't really feel alive or real. Yet there are people around you that seem to be experiencing God in very real ways, but it just doesn't seem like it's real to you. As Christians, the reality is we are gonna face times in our lives where God feels distant. We will face those times in our lives where we feel disconnected, where our relationship with him doesn't feel maybe as exciting or alive as what it seems like in other people's lives, or maybe even how it used to feel in our own lives. And it can be a discouraging place to be. And I've had a handful of conversations in the past year with individuals that have felt this way, and they don't know why, and they don't know what to do about it. So I thought that, you know, this would be a good topic to tackle to help us in those times where we feel that disconnect from God. The title of my sermon is, Why Does God Feel Distant? Why does God feel distant? The answer to this question can be very different depending on the person that's asking it. And there are just some questions that are always better answered with another question. Right, and I think that this is one of those times. So rather than just giving a simple answer, I wanna give us four questions that we can ask ourselves. Four questions that we can ask ourselves. These are more or less questions that I've asked people that I've counseled that have felt that disconnect or felt that distance from God. And while these questions don't cover every situation, I think it gives us a good starting point. And so I encourage you, maybe you're not a note taker during sermons, I encourage you to take notes and write these questions down. Even if your relationship with God right now feels vibrant and feels alive, because these questions may be helpful sometime in the future. Because as we'll find out, the experience of distance from God is not something that's new or unique to just a few individuals. So if you have your notes, write down this first question. Question number one, on why I might feel distant from God or why he feels distant. You know, this is a rubber meets the road type question, but I think it's an important starting point is, do I have any unconfessed sin in my life? Do I have any unconfessed sin in my life? King David wrote this in Psalm 32, 3 and 4. He said, when I kept silent, and keep in mind, this is the King David who slew Goliath, the King David that's called the man after God's own heart. He said, When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. So in this psalm, David is writing about the weight of unconfessed sin concerning a time when he was silent and unrepentant towards a sin that he had committed. If you know the story, David had committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba, but it took the confrontation of a prophet before David actually confessed it and repented of it. And so what he's saying here is that it weighed heavy upon him. God's hand was heavy upon him. There was a serious conviction that was happening in his heart. He knew that he needed to do something. He knew that he needed to confess, but he wasn't doing it. There was something that needed to be done, but he wasn't doing it. And that's what unconfessed sin is, and that's what it does in our life. Now, addressing unconfessed sin, it doesn't mean that, you know, we have to scour our past trying to remember everything that we've done wrong out of fear that, you know, God's not gonna forgive unless we remember and confess of everything. When we're talking about unconfessed sin, it's something that you know what it is. Maybe as I'm talking about this now, you know something. You know what it is, but you haven't dealt with it. It's that thing that's always kind of sitting in the back of our mind. When we have unconfessed sin in our lives, there's this discord in our relationship with God. Not because God's unforgiving, not because God is angry at you, but because God in his mercy will not turn a blind eye to this cancer that seeks to destroy us. Sin will always try to destroy us, and God will not turn a blind eye when there's something that's unconfessed in our life. Discord in your relationship with God, it doesn't mean that you lost your salvation. It doesn't mean that you no longer have a relationship. It just means that there's something that needs to be made right. And I think that, you know, we all know this in our human relationships, right? You know, for those that are married, when my wife and I get into an argument about something, and this is purely hypothetical, by the way, I might say hurtful things, she might say hurtful things, we might get angry at each other. We don't stop being married because there's discord or there's tension in our relationship. But if you're a married couple, you know that feeling when an emotional wall goes up. And you don't even have to be, it can be a friend relationship, a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, you know, sibling relationship. You just know when that wall goes up. Everyone knows what I'm talking about, right? And you can even act cordial, smile, act like everything's all right, but you know there's a wall there. You know it's there. There's this tension that's in the relationship. Maybe some of you had that on the way to church. I don't know what it is about going to church that brings that out of us, but maybe you had it on the way to church this morning. And couples that can't recognize or admit fault and simply just try to move on as if nothing happened, they either don't last or they end up with a very poor and emotionally disconnected relationship. That's what happens when it's not dealt with. Unconfessed or undealt with sin, it sows this discord in our relationship with God because he's holy. And what does he call us to be? Holy. So when there's dishonesty about something, when we're called to walk in the truth, or when there's hatred or unforgiveness or bitterness in our heart towards someone when we're commanded to forgive, or when there's sexual immorality, when we're charged to live in purity, or when there's pride and selfishness, when we're called to be like Jesus and exemplify love, or maybe it's something that God has asked you to do, but because it's hard, you haven't taken that step. You haven't acted in obedience. It's so important that we repent of our shortcomings, but here's the incredible thing, because I don't want to just end it on this note of we have to confess our sin, because David didn't end it there either. Look at what David said in the next verse, in verse 5. He said, I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity, and I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. See, we have a loving and merciful and gracious God that doesn't hold our sins against us in greed, in vengeance or spite, like some of us do in our human relationships, he's eager to forgive those who confess. He's so willing and so eager to forgive those who confess. And also just briefly mention this before moving on. Sometimes it's not just sin that we haven't confessed to God. It might be sin that we haven't confessed to somebody else in our life, a brother or a sister or a wife or a husband. In James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Now, there are times where I've sinned and I didn't cover it up with God. I've recognized it and I confessed and I repented before God, but God wouldn't let me move on until I confessed it to my wife. And ashamedly, at times, it's taken me way longer than it should have, but there was freedom and there was healing, not only when you confess to God, but when you also confess in your human relationships. So if you feel distant, first question you might ask is there any unconfessed sin in my life? Because if it's ignored long enough, it leaves us emotionally callous in our relationship with God. And we can't even pray or read the Bible honestly anymore, because when we do, we start to feel that conviction. It's that thing that's always sitting in the back of our mind, that spending time in prayer, spending time in scripture, it starts to come to the forefront again, and we don't like that. So eventually, this place of conviction keeps us from even seeking God anymore. Which leads us to question number two. Why does God feel distant? Question number two, am I actively seeking God? Am I actively seeking him? Now, this might seem like an obvious question, but I've been in conversations with people who are struggling or where feel distant in their relationship with God, or just say it doesn't feel real, and I'll ask them, okay, are you reading your Bible? Well, not really, it's hard to understand. Oh, okay, are you praying? If I'm really going through it, then I'll start praying sometimes. Okay, are you going to church? Well, I just don't have time to do that, or my work schedule doesn't allow it. And it's like, well, these are the ways that you build a relationship with God. These are the ways that we actively seek him. Bible reading, Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ, meaning that when we're reading scripture, it's actively building our faith. We're actively, and faith is the foundation of our relationship with God. Hebrews 4:12, it says, the word of God is living and active. It's not just words on a page, it's actively working in my life. When you pray, Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is the way that we connect with God and we grow in our relationship with him. 1 Corinthians 12:27, for the church, it says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. It's talking about the church, not the building that we're sitting in right now, but the people, you and I, we are the body of Christ. We represent Christ. So if you're in a season where God feels distant, it's especially important to be connected to a church body, to spend time with those who do feel close to God. You're not gonna feel very connected in any relationship if you're not spending time investing in it. You know, it'd almost be the same thing as if a couple came to me saying, I don't feel very close or connected to my spouse. And I said, okay, well, how often do you do activities together? Oh yeah, we spend a lot of time together. And you know, we sit next to each other on the couch and she has her headphones in and she's streaming her show and I have my headphones in and I'm watching the sports game. We spend a lot of time together. Or what kind of things do you talk about with each other? Oh, we'll talk when we need to get things off our chest and, you know, occasional things here and there. Or when was the last time you went on a date? Oh, we dated 15 years ago. We're married now though, right? If there's no active investment in a relationship, it's gonna feel distant. It's gonna feel disconnected. Now, I will say this, because I know for some people, especially those that are new to faith, it could be very well be that you just aren't sure how connecting with God through these means actually works. You know, if you're new to that, I've heard the questions like, I don't know how to pray. What am I supposed to say? Do I need to take a certain position or posture? Like, I don't know how to talk to God. I don't see him like I do my human relationship. So I just don't know how it works. Or maybe it's, I don't know how to study the Bible. Anyone ever felt like you're reading the Bible and it's like a different language? It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know the next step or the next thing to do to study it and to actually understand it and grow in my relationship with God. So I understand that there are those that are like that. And if you feel like that, please come talk to one of the pastors. Come talk to one of the elders here. We'd be happy to walk you through some things, answer questions, provide you with resources, or even stop by our connect table after service, and you know, we can help point you in the right direction. But we have to actively pursue God. Now, I can hear some of I can hear the thoughts of some of you, and you're thinking, okay, I am doing those things regularly. I am praying. I am reading scripture. I am going to church, and I still feel disconnected. I still feel like God's distant, which leads me to the third question to ask. Question number three, am I letting my emotions dictate my faith? Am I letting my emotions dictate my faith? So important to realize this. Being connected to God is not the same thing as feeling connected to God. Being connected to God is not the same thing as feeling connected to God. You might say, but if God is always present and I am connected, then why do sometimes I feel like he's so far away? Even when I'm praying, reading my Bible, going to church, I do everything that I know to do, but it just doesn't feel real. Everyone, and I'm saying everyone, goes through what's been labeled in, you know, in Christianese or in the church as dry seasons in their walk with God, or wilderness experiences. These seasons can range from feelings of numbness to feelings of doubt to even feelings of agony. I mean, listen to a couple of these. King David, the man after God's own heart, pled this to God in Psalm 10, verse 1. He said, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Anyone ever felt like they've been there before? Your time of greatest need and God's hidden from you? See, David had expectations of God's justice and involvement in human affairs, and the sufferers were not experiencing that justice, and so he questions God's presence. People often associate or equate the presence of difficulty with the absence of God, or the presence of injustice with the absence of God. And so David is essentially crying out, saying, "Where are you? Where are you, God?" Mother Teresa wrote about a spiritual dryness and an absence of God from an apparent absence of God from her life, and at the same time a painful longing for him. She wrote about this at the time that she was actively serving in Calcutta, India. Theologian and author C.S. Lewis, in his book A Grief Observed, grappled with the loss of his wife and expressed feelings of abandonment by God. The great Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon battled with depression and experienced periods of spiritual darkness despite his prolific ministry, despite his great faith. The late author and pastor Eugene Peterson wrote about his experience of feeling far from God after returning from Bible school, of all places, described it as a period of disillusionment and spiritual dryness. So if you feel distant from God, even in your pursuit of him, even in your ministry, I know it doesn't make it any easier, but you're in good company. You're in great company. There may be no reason we feel disconnected or far from God other than this simple fact that God is teaching us to live by faith and not just the feeling of faith. He's teaching us to live by faith and not the feeling of faith. He's forming the kind of faith in us that's talked about in Hebrews 11:1, where it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. In other words, our emotions don't dictate our faith. Faith is the foundation of our relationship with God. Faith is the foundation. The conviction and the evidence of those things that aren't seen, that we don't feel in the moment. You might say, well, how long is it gonna last? Only God can answer that question. But what we can do in seasons like that is keep showing up. That's all we can do, is keep showing up. When the Bible doesn't feel like it's life-giving, we keep meeting with God. When prayer feels dry and lifeless, you do what theologian D.A. Carson said, you stick with it, you pray until you pray. When feelings wax and wane, you remind yourself of God's promises to you. Faith can kind of feel like a hike on a winding path up a mountain. Several years ago, my brothers and I hiked up Half Dome at Yosemite National Park. Anybody else ever been at Yosemite? Anybody else ever hiked Half Dome? So Half Dome is no joke. It's a 16-mile hike up and back down. And there's a whole story of our experience that I don't have time to go into today. Maybe someday in a sermon as it relates, I'll tell that story. But as expected, the hike is not straight up and straight down, right? When you climb a mountain, you don't go straight up and straight down. The path winds as it goes up and it goes down, and there are twists and turns. And what's interesting is at certain points of the hike along that path, as you're looking at the peak, as you're looking at the destination where you're going, the path is actually leading you away from the peak. It's leading you away, meaning our physical proximity to our location was getting further away, but every step we took on that path, we were actually getting closer in our journey to our destination. And it can feel like that in our faith and lives, specifically during hard times, where it feels like we're getting further from God, but in reality, each step forward, each step of faith, each step going forward, even when we feel that emotional disconnect on the spiritual path, it's bringing you closer to Him. It's getting you closer to that destination, because we walk by faith and not by sight and not by feeling. And as we wait on God in faith, as we wait on Him and we keep showing up, I don't know how it happens, but God continues to give us the strength and the endurance and the determination to keep going every single day. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If you feel like you're in that season of life, God's not mad at you. God is with you. God loves you. God's actively supplying you with the strength and the determination to keep going forward. Last question, and then we'll close. Question number four, why does God feel so distant? Am I just feeling growing pains? And I'll explain this one. Question four, am I just feeling growing pains? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, everything has become new. This means that when we place our faith in Jesus, something changes in us. Something changes spiritually. We become something that's brand new. And we have this new spirit in us that desires to live righteous, that desires to do the right thing, that desires to pursue God. But we also have some of our old ways of thinking and our old habits. That's what Paul talks about in Galatians 5:16-17. He encourages us, he says, walk by the Spirit so that you don't gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. They're opposed to each other, keeping you from doing the things that you want to do. They're constantly at war. There's a spirit sin nature conflict that each one of us battles. It's that feeling that you get when you passionately don't want to do something that you used to do, or maybe that you have a problem doing, but at the same time, you're highly tempted by it. It's the sin nature and the spirit, the new man battling it out. And when people feel that tension sometimes and they don't understand what's happening as they're learning to walk in the spirit, they get discouraged. And their relationship with God, it feels good when they're doing well and they haven't messed up, and it feels distant when they do mess up. And it becomes this inconsistent roller coaster type relationship that they feel with God. And of course, when you're in that moment, who do you think is right there taking advantage of that tension? Our adversary, the devil, is right there. Revelation says he's the accuser of God's people, and he's right there trying to hit us with feelings of guilt and feelings of shame. It says, your relationship with God isn't sincere because you still struggle. If you really loved God, you wouldn't struggle with that sin anymore. You would have gotten over it by now. If you really are a new person, you would have much more of a desire to read the Bible and pray. It would feel so much more alive than it actually is. He'll say, no, the reason God feels distance is maybe because you're just making this stuff up in your head. Maybe it was never real to begin with. Or maybe it's because he's mad at you, because you don't measure up, or because you failed too many times, now he's withdrawn his presence from you. And the enemy is right there pelting us with lie after lie. And this tension that people feel and the lies of the enemy, it creates this feeling of distance from God. I've talked with people who, after they got saved, they still struggle with a particular sin, and they don't want to do it anymore. They desperately don't want to do it anymore, but they still struggle. And so they get so discouraged, and what they conclude is nothing's changed in their life. And I always tell them this. I say, listen, your convicting struggle with a sin that you used to justify is evidence of God working in your life, not of his absence in it. That struggle with sin that you have, that you used to justify, that you could use to care less about, that's evidence of God working in your life. So don't let the devil kick you when you're down. Don't let the devil kick you when you've made a mistake. Get up and keep going forward. As it says in Proverbs 24:16, the righteous falls 7 times and rises again. We're not gonna get it perfect. We're gonna make mistakes along the way. But you get up and you keep going. And you may feel those growing pains, but thank God he doesn't push us away in our struggles and in our imperfections. Rather, he's patient and he's merciful. And I'll tell you this, in my experience with struggle, it's that my patience and my grace for myself runs out long before God's does. And when that happens, the shame and everything wants to bring you down, and you feel disconnected from God. No, don't let the growing pains heap shame and guilt on your head. Rather, let it inspire awe of the character of God. God, thank you that you forgive me. Thank you that you're merciful. Thank you that you're gracious. Thank you that you're equipping me, that you're changing me. So would you stand as we close? Now, I've been talking to those specifically who have placed their faith in Christ and given some questions that we can ask ourselves when we feel disconnected or distant from God. But I want to end with one more question directed to those who are not Christ followers. Because for those who haven't placed their faith in Jesus, it's not a matter of feeling disconnected. It's a matter of being disconnected. So the question is, do you want to connect with God? If you've never placed your faith in Jesus, do you want to connect with God? There are a lot of people who believe in God, but are disconnected from him. Believing in God is not the same thing as having a relationship with him. Many people are even unsure of what they mean by God. You know, God's used these days to describe anything from a universal life force to a higher power to a cosmic energy. And in our postmodern world, it can even be defined very personally and eclectically, meaning God means this to one person, he means this to another, or God is who I want him to be, or what I think God should be like. And the problem with how God is defined by so many is that you can't have a relationship with an impersonal God. You can't. And people that believe that God exists, they believe that there's some kind of higher power. They believe that there's something out there because there is something in every man and woman that knows there's something there. But people that believe that God exists, but they don't know him personally, they go through life like 52 Hertz people. They're on a different frequency than the God who created them. And there's something in them that longs for something more. There's something in them that knows that there's something more. And that can change this morning. The incredible thing about the God of the Bible is that he's not just an idea. He's not just a concept. He's not just an impersonal force. He's a person revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus, God coming to earth in the form of a man, was God speaking to us on our frequency. It was God bridging the gap that we couldn't. So how does one go from simply believing God exists to actually having that relationship with him? Jesus said it like this. He said, you have to be born again. You have to be born again. There has to be this spiritual birth that happens. And here's how you do it. Make it simple. ABC, you admit, you believe, and confess. And maybe this is for someone that they've never taken this step. Or maybe you grew up in a Christian home. Maybe you're familiar with this and you've walked away from it. And you need to say, no, I need to recommit to this in my life. ABC, A is admit. Admitting that you're a sinner that needs a savior. And really, this is the easy part because we know we're all too familiar with our shortcomings. We're all too familiar with our faults at times. And it's admitting that I can't cash in on my good works at the end of life. I can't go to church enough to try to earn my way into heaven. I need a savior to rescue me. And once you've admitted, then you believe that that's not the end of the story, that I don't have to stay disconnected from God for the rest of my life, but that Jesus came and he died on a cross. God spoke to us in our frequency by taking on the form of a man, taking all of our faults, taking all of our sins, taking all of our problems, and he died on a cross so that you and I could have forgiveness of our sins, that we don't have to walk with the experience of shame and guilt that plagues us. And it's saying if we choose to believe that and we place our faith in Jesus, we can be saved. And then lastly, C, confess. It means confessing Jesus as Lord of your life. Not only is Jesus my savior, but he's my Lord. And it means submitting yourself to God, living your life in accordance with what he's commanded in his word. And I'm telling you, when you do it right, it's not a rule book that we follow. It's freedom. The more we walk as Jesus has called us to live, it's freedom in our life. And the things that I'm afraid God is gonna ask me to do or to give up that I don't know if I can, as our heart and our desires are changing, you begin to pursue those things and it brings so much freedom into your life. And when you do those three things, you admit and you believe and you confess, the Bible says that you become born again. And so I wanna close, once again, if you've never done that, but you wanna connect with God this morning, or maybe you have done it, but you've kind of been in a season of walking away, and you're saying, I need to recommit to that. We're gonna say this prayer. And if we could all just bow our heads in prayer right now. And if you've never done that and you would like to connect with God, you want to have that personal relationship with him this morning, could you just slip your hand up in the air and I want to pray a prayer? Amen. Thank you. Can we all just pray this prayer together? And there's nothing special about this prayer. It's about a heart. It's about a heart posture, about a heart attitude. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. You faced hell for me, so I wouldn't have to go. You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. Say this, say, God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And I just want to encourage you with this. When my dad prayed that prayer for the first time, it changed the course of my family's future. But as my dad tells it, he didn't have an emotional response in the moment. But he walked away and things started to change in his life. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time and you didn't feel an emotional response, no. You walk by faith. This is a faith decision. You are connected to God. You have a relationship with God and you keep moving forward in Jesus' name, amen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you so much. First and foremost, that we can connect with you. God, that while so many people experience hopelessness and they search their entire lives trying to fill this void and they never know that it's you that they're missing all along. God, I thank you that you did provide that way for us, that we can have that relationship with you. God, and we praise you and we bless you for that. I thank you for those that made that commitment today. I pray that you would become more and more alive in their life as they pursue you. God, and I just pray for those in the room that they are walking with you. They have placed their faith in you, but maybe they're in a season where it just feels distant or disconnected. God, I pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them to know that we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to them in a powerful way this morning. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
What a timely word for all of us this morning. And if you're watching online, if you have made the decision to follow Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do you mind just stopping in our chat there and our team will be in touch with you. But I also have on my heart to make this altar call for the people that are here in this sanctuary. I believe God is speaking to somebody this morning, especially if you have been feeling distant and you've been asking questions and your life has been on a journey in your relationship with the Lord, and maybe you're just at work or at college or whatever situation you might face. God is speaking through his word this morning to all of us, but to you specifically, that are going through this journey of uncertainty. God is our foundation. He is our hope. And we must know that we know that we know in whom I have believed. Like Job, in a moment when he was wealthy and had everything, in the moment where God has truly blessed him, and it came another moment when he went through a test and he lost everything. And the easiest would have been for him when his wife came and said, just curse God and die and this will be over. But he says, no, I know in whom I have believed. Isn't it amazing that this morning, this can be our testimony that you might be walking with the Lord and your journey has been difficult. Your faith has been tested. And the thoughts might be coming to your mind, just give up. Who cares? Just give up. Curse God and move on. But let the testimony in your life be this morning, like Job's words, I know in whom I have believed, and one day my eyes shall see him. And if this is your belief, there's somebody here that this word is for, come and pray. Come here, and I'm going to join you in this prayer. We're going to be praying for you, that your testimony will be today not to give up, but I know in whom I have believed, because God has been faithful. God has been faithful. He is faithful and He will be faithful. So during this song, as we're going to be saying, all my life you have been faithful. Come and join here and we're going to be praying together. Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. It's about your life. Who cares what people think? It's about your life and the relationship between you and the Lord. And we are just here to support you and to cheer you on in this relationship. Amen. Come join me here. We'll pray.